It's Wednesday night again. Welcome along, 11th of August 2021. It's the Chris Scott Show with me, Chris Scott, on FM 105 Down Community Radio. Thank you again for lending me your ears, and do stay tuned. In fact, get the glue out and stick that dial on. Don't let it slip for the next hour. Hey, great stuff ahead in tonight's programme. Started the programme there tonight with the Pasadenas, all the way back to 1991. A big hit for them, and I'm doing fine now. Their band member, Hamish, or Hamish, depending where you live and how you speak, he celebrates his birthday today, and happy 57th birthday to you, sir. Music also later tonight from Eric Harmon and rock group Night Ranger. Looking forward to hearing from them later on. Just a whisk of a lamb's tail, I think that's right. I think that's how you say that. Well, we'll be hearing from Barry Manilow back to 1975 with I Write the Songs. And why am I playing that tonight? There's always a link. There's always a reason, isn't there? Yeah, well, it's going to lead nicely into the Chatting with Chris feature. A few weeks ago, I chatted to Downpatrick's very own award-winning singer-songwriter, Lucy Bell. What a talented lady. Yeah, she was awarded PanArt Young Songwriter in 2017, amongst other accolades, might I add. She performed in front of, 10,000 people at the Dalriada Festival. So she is coming along to chat and tell me all about her career to date, and tell me all about her writing after this one by Barry Manilow. Stay tuned, it's FM 105 Down Community Radio.
Chatting with Chris on FM 105 Down Community Radio. Your station, your voice.
Sitting in the surroundings of the Market Square in Downpatrick, and we've just passed a heatwave basically, and we're now in a sort of, I've heard the word rain, and I haven't heard that in a long time, but here to brighten up tonight, it's Lucy Bell from Downpatrick. Welcome to the show, Lucy.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, better for seeing you now. So, I mean, I have seen you on video, I've seen you on YouTube, and you are a singer-songwriter.
Yes, I am indeed.
Lucy, you were born in Downpatrick here, is that right?
I was born and raised, yeah.
And it's probably 21 years later from then.
It is indeed, yeah.
And I would say you've quite a story to tell. Now, I have listened to your voice, I have listened to you singing, I've listened to some of your compositions, and I have to agree with one of our competitors in the BBC, Marie-Louise Muir, who has a couple of programmes there, but she has described you as a heart-stoppingly beautiful voice, and there's no other words that would sum that up, I think.
I was very flattered by that comment. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I don't know where you fit in the genres. I mean, I know there's something about folk and pop. Is that how you see yourself?
At the moment, yeah. I'm kind of bouncing about and trying to see where I fit, but I feel like I'm a blend of that. I'm leaning a bit more into rock at the minute, but I wouldn't say I'm in the rock genre. So folk pop, I think, kind of encapsulates it a bit more. Just one genre.
So I'm an old guy and I don't really listen to modern charts, so give me a singer that you think you're close to.
Some people have said Maggie Rogers or Lisa Hannigan and Laura Marling, and they're more folk, but they said that's what my writing is like and that's what my more folk songs are like as opposed to the pop.
Okay, so you just don't wake up in the morning and start writing songs. I mean, there has to be some sort of talent there. So if we wind back, let's go to primary school. I mean, music, where did it all start for you?
I always loved singing and making up songs. So I don't have a lot of theory knowledge myself. But like even nursery school and primary school, I used to go into school and make up my own songs and just sing them to my friends and bore them to death. And then when I was about 11 or 12, my brother got a guitar. He went to university and left the guitar, and he used to sneak into his room and steal it and start trying to teach myself chords. And he caught me one time and said, right, well, if you're going to play it, at least play it properly. And he taught me my first few chords. From there, I got a guitar for Christmas from Santa Claus, and it never really stopped. I went to lessons for a few months and then kept teaching myself, and that was that. It was like a bug.
I suppose when I grew up, teaching yourself was really trying to get the chord structures, and it was like there was nothing on YouTube. We didn't have mobile phones. Is that how you taught yourself, or had you a different way of doing that?
I suppose it was kind of that. There's a chord website that has chords for famous songs and stuff that I kind of used that, and then again, it was really lucky that YouTube and things like that were about, so I didn't have to, go to my family and say, teach me how to play guitar. I could just sit on my own and teach myself. That's still how I learn songs this day, just in my room, figuring it out.
Okay, so you're teaching yourself guitar, so the voice. So it had to develop from somewhere. I mean, at primary school, were you in the school plays? Were you on the stage? And then once you got the bigger school, did that keep going? Or were you just one of those little shy kids in the back row?
I think in primary school I was a bit more shy, but I loved singing. So our school had a few choir things that we used to do, but I never wanted the solos and stuff, and I always waited till the last minute to ask the teacher, oh, can I maybe have a solo? And they were like, well, it's too late. And then secondary school is when I started to get a bit more confident with it, and I joined a bunch of choirs, and I was in a barbershop and things like that, and that's when I started telling people that I wrote my own stuff and playing it to them. And GCSE music, really, I felt a bit more comfortable with, you know, people my own age that were doing similar things sometimes, and I used to play them my songs, and we were meant to be studying for the GCSEs, but we would have just played songs together and mucked about in the music rooms.
I was just thinking, when you said GCSE music, did that allow you to write then, to do your own? From what I recall, there was very structured, and you had to study bits rather than perform your own.
Yeah, so there was studying bits. So GCSE music is as far as my knowledge and theory goes. And I did write some really awful quartet pieces for my GCSE. You had to submit two pieces that you'd written. And I remember my music teacher saw me sing one of my own songs at like an event the school put on. And he came up to me after and he went, we're scrapping the quartet piece, you can just record that and send it through, don't worry, add a few more instruments and you're sorted. So I did that. So I was lucky enough to have that freedom in it, but I did have to do one quartet piece, which was the bane of my life.
Did you pass your GCSE music?
I did, I got an A. So I did okay.
Did you then take that to the next stage then, to A-level? No, that was it, basically?
No, that was it. I knew that if I took it to A-level, I'd grow to kind of dislike it more than enjoy it as a hobby and something I wanted to pursue, because I didn't have the knowledge and I didn't have the grades behind me. So I figured I was happy with that at GCSE and I was just going to keep playing and do other A-levels.
So if you can recall back, you know, you're going from first form through to fifth form, probably lower sixth, upper sixth, that seems to be the way that we go in life. But were there little bits of paper produced and little songs written in the corners and lines coming to you in the middle of the night? Is that true? Is that what you guys do?
Yeah, definitely. There's a few times in the middle of the night I'll wake up or, like, you know, when you're just half asleep and then I just think of something like, oh, that's class. And I'll get my phone out and voice note it and write down what I can remember, and then I wake up the next day and read it and I go, what was I thinking? You know, but you sometimes get things from it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But yeah, it's just, you never know when it'll hit inspiration.
And do you keep all that stuff? Have you still got all that stuff somewhere?
I've got a good amount of it. I lost, I think, over 400 voice recordings once when my phone broke, and it was heartbreaking. Oh. But I think I've got about 200 to 300 on my current phone, so just to back them up now.
So, you know, after school then, you went to university, I believe, over in Cheltenham. How did you find that experience?
It was brilliant. It was one of the best decisions I ever made. I was lucky enough to live in a house of musicians. So I went to Cheltenham and studied film production, which is another love of mine. But I got to be very involved in that course and then also just go home to play music and write with the people I lived with. So it was just like a dream to be there, really, you know, constantly creating and just having fun with it. Didn't ever feel pressureful.
Lucy, if I sort of wind back and look at the accolades that are online on some of your Facebook page, and they probably date back to about 2017, there may be others before that. So you're talking 4 years ago, and it looks like Young Songwriter of the Year, Pan Arch Young Songwriter of the Year. So, I mean, this wasn't just little scraps of paper hidden away. You developed this and were recognised for that. Tell us something about how things started to develop then to get to those sort of levels.
Yeah, well, I guess it kind of started when I began playing in front of people. So I started playing in local bars and restaurants and stuff on Sunday evenings, and you know, musicians around the town would come up to me, give me pieces of advice about my equipment, about what I was writing, about how to play, and all of that kind of improved my skills in music. And I kept writing my own stuff, and I remember my mum said that she loves story songs and songs that tell a story, and why don't I try writing one of those instead of the songs I was writing? I thought, right, okay, I'll give it a go. And I wrote a song called Paris. And I mentioned earlier the four-a-side competition. And I was going to enter it again, but just as I was about to, my mum got a job with Foreside, so I couldn't enter because it would look like a bias if I won at all. So we were looking at other things that I could possibly enter, and we saw that Pan Arts had a young singer-songwriter competition for singer-songwriter of the year, and I thought, well, I've nothing to lose, I've no expectation at all. And I got through the final, and we were like, oh my god, this is insane. And then I played the final, and I played that song and another one called Beautiful Lie, and they said that I'd won, and I got to go to Nashville as part of the award. I'd just turned 18, so I got a week off school, and I got to go to Nashville and, you know, play with Grammy Award winners and write with Grammy Award winners and just spend the week learning about the music industry in Nashville and how it works, and really how to get hits and things like that. And then I had to come home to normality. But it really helped make me strive for that, knowing how that worked and what I could achieve if I did it in the right way. And it really showed music as a business rather than, you know, just a hobby, and that it was something I could do. So I just kept going, and then that's where I am now, really.
So that's all very broad brush, you know. Yeah, I wrote a song, got Pan Arts, I got there, and I went to Nashville, all in like one breath. But what an experience. I mean, not everybody will ever get that chance. Nashville to me means country and western. Mm-hmm. Do you know, but what was it like out there? I mean, did they fly you out? Was everyone put up for you, your hotel? What was your expectation even out there?
Yeah, so they flew us out. So it was me and three other songwriters, but I was the one that had won the award. But they paid for everything. And I also was a bit worried that everything would be very country, because if you've heard my music, it's not very country. But we got there, and, you know, the bars are lined with top-class musicians, and on every floor it's a different genre. And then everyone you hear, you think, you should be famous. You know, you're brilliant. But it was phenomenal. I don't think, even if I had really high expectations, that they that I could have imagined what it would have been like. We sat down with big managers, and, you know, they told us about the people they'd managed, and then we played in the Bluebird Cafe with some really famous writers. So a man called Tony Arata was there, and Benita Hill, and they frequently wrote for Garth Brooks. So Tony Arata actually wrote the dance, and we were just singing songs together, and he was complimenting our songwriting, and it was just, I was sitting there, and I was like, I was in Downpatrick a week ago, you know. This is insane. So I don't think any expectations would have been met, because it was just, everything was just completely surpassed in my mind of what it could have been. It was a dream.
So you came back and then went to university after that then, is that correct?
Yeah, so I came back and finished my A-levels and then went to university.
Right.
So I had a week off in the middle of where my coursework was due. I went to my teachers and said, I need a week off. And they were like, can you bring your laptop? And I went, no, I don't want to. And they were like, right, you may catch up.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
And I got to go to university then after.
Well done. And then, I mean, once you sort of get a taste of that life, was university, you know, had you second thoughts?
No. I knew from when I started music, a few people said to me, like, you know, you don't need to go to university, you can make a living out of this. And I thought, yeah, I know, but I wanted to study film, and I wanted to go for that as much as I had with the music. But it was a bit strange, because then I'd released an EP by the time I went. It's no longer available online, but I met all these other 18-year-olds who all just assumed I was famous because I'd been to Nashville, and obviously they'd had a wee stalk on Facebook, and they were like, oh my god, you know, you're a musician. And I was like, well, you know, I'm not famous, don't worry. But I still got to play music when I was there, so I still got to have that love.
And of course, I don't know what your course was like, but with film production, were you able to incorporate what your music into the film production? That must have been so easy for you, and probably able to manipulate that for some videos.
Yeah, definitely. So I often did sound design as my role in what the films we made, and one of the biggest difficulties was finding music that we could use without paying for it, because obviously we didn't have any money. So I would have been messaging musicians back home saying, this is the film, I'm going to send it to you. Could I use this song of yours? And it was always a resounding yes, which I was so thankful for. But then I didn't have to worry about copyright or licensing. I could just send them a message and say, if we make anything from it, you get it, don't worry. So that was very handy. And then I did use it to my advantage a bit. So I released my last singles, Fools, and I just contacted all of my course mates and said, do you want to make a music video together? And we went into the studio and just did, and it was great fun. But it wouldn't have been possible if I, you know, didn't do the course and meet those people.
So this video, it's not just like a straightforward song right through. There's like a little break in it, and one of your mates comes in and starts. So there's a story behind it.
Yeah, so we were going for kind of the behind the scenes of making a music video in a music video. So yeah, I get shouted at by my friend, but really there's a bit in it where she's shouting at me and I'm just standing there, and all she was saying was, what did you have for breakfast? I was like, oh, I didn't have any breakfast. And she was like, Lucy, that's not healthy. But it looks like she's having a go at me, so, you know, it doesn't matter.
So, you know, what you've recorded up tonight, what's out there? What can we listen to?
So my most recent singles, Fools and Lost on the Line, are out there, along with the single that got me to Nashville, Paris, and the acoustic version of it. So they're all available. They're all on YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere you can think of. And then at the moment, I'm focused on writing another EP. So my first EP isn't available online anymore. But I'm working on my next one, and I'm hopefully recording very, very soon.
Good. Well, now, when you say EP, in my day, that was with the extended play, so it was like a single, but maybe there were four tracks on it. What are you aiming for now on EPs?
Yeah, so I'm hopefully going to record four tracks as well. So still roughly the same, yeah.
Chatting with Chris on FM 105, Down Community Radio. Your station, your voice.
Lucy, I think we're going to listen to Paris now, and you talked about that earlier. Give me some of the background of that.
So Paris was a song that my mum wanted me to write more story songs, and I was reading this book called The Little Paris Bookshop, and I only got a few pages in, but when I was reading those few pages, I thought, this is what I'm going to write a song about, this story. So I started writing a story about someone who fell in love in Paris, and then person they fell in love with went back and fell in love with someone else. So it's like a heartbreak song, but it's quite atmospheric and, you know, quite chill, I think. But that was the one that luckily got me to Nashville. In a little
bookshop. An absolute classic from local singer-songwriter Downpatrick's Lucy Bell with her song Paris. I'm going to join Lucy again in conversation with me after this.
You're listening to Chris Scott on FM 105, Down Community Radio.
Chatting with Chris on FM 105, Down Community Radio. Your station, your voice.
How do you find that end of the business? So you're back home now, you're away from Cheltenham. And might I just say congratulations. Maybe you don't want to put this out in air. It'll be going out in a few weeks' time, so we're looking back. But listen, congratulations and your degree.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
What I'm trying to get at is then, you know, the recording business now. We're doing this interview, as I explained to you, at very simple equipment, and there's so much technology out there, and it's very, very easy to do. How are you finding things? Are you going into professional studios? How do you do that? How does all that come together?
So I try to aim to go into professional studios as much as I can, just to, you know, gain that experience and that knowledge, especially, as you said, there is so much equipment out there, and I like to know about it as much as I can. So when I go in with a producer, I can say, I want this and I want it to sound like this. Could we use this equipment and stuff? But I like going with people more so that I can talk to. So as I said before, like, my theory knowledge goes up to GCSE music and that's it. So I prefer going with people that I can openly say, I don't know how to make this sound, and then I try to describe it and they'll get it and they'll put it in there for me, and I say, yeah, that's it. So really open communication in professional studios is what I seek to have. But when I was in university, they had recording studios as well. So there were friends that were studying music and music technology, and they'd say, you know, could we record a quick song? And I'd go, yeah. So I got even more hands-on experience with all that kit and more time in the studio, which just means I'm more comfortable when I go in, but I love it. It's really fun.
It is quite expensive now, you know, from someone who's just starting out to get into a studio. I think that's right.
Yeah, it definitely is. But I think, you know, what's important when you are starting out is that you don't need all that fancy equipment, you know, because technology has evolved so much. Yes, there's that expensive fancy equipment, but you can do it with your phone or a wee microphone that you find online and any software on your laptop or computer. You know, it's doable, and you can get yourself out there with social media and all that. You don't need to spend thousands to do it, which I think we're very lucky to have nowadays.
It's not all about recording studios either, because Lucy Bell needs to be out there, out in the community, out singing. So what's happening now? Cheltenham's behind you. What's your plans? I mean, have you been any large festivals even? What would be the largest crowd you've actually performed in front of?
Oh, so that would probably be the summer before COVID began. I was at Dalriada Festival in Glenarm, or also known as Camp Dalfest, and they had a competition for singer-songwriters, and it was called Rising Star, and I was very lucky to win that competition, and I got to play on the main stage in front of 10,000 people. My mum was having heart failure. What songs are you going to do and all this? But that was phenomenal. So that's probably the biggest crowd I played at. And I recently, they did a COVID-safe version of the festival 2 weekends ago. And I got to play there with a band. So just my plans for the next little while are just to play more and get out there and get back to just enjoying it and playing as much as I can.
So going back to that festival, what did you compose and sing that night?
So I did, on stage, I did one of my own, and I did Fools, and I did a cover of Zombie by the Cranberries. And then when I was on stage, I did 3 covers, because I thought, if I'm up here, I may as well just let people sing along to things they know. So I did a cover of Eminem, Lose Yourself. I did Billie Jean by Michael Jackson, and then I did What's Up by the Four Non-Blondes. And it was just fun, you know, 10,000 people singing back at you isn't something that happens every day. So that was phenomenal.
How did you feel? You have to have a certain amount of nerves, obviously. You know, people have to be nervous to perform, right? What was it like?
I was so nervous before I got on stage. And Stuart Robinson from Cool FM was hosting the event. So he spoke to me a bit on stage, introduced me to the crowd. And when that was happening, I was like, oh my God, there's 10,000 people in front of me. And then I started playing and I started chatting to the audience. And I was like, you know what, I don't want to be doing anything else. It was great.
Is there anything else you haven't told us about other awards and so on, Lucy? I know you've been at other culture nights in Belfast, the Sunflower Festival. What else have you been at?
Yeah, so I've been at the Sunflower Fest a couple of years. Dalriada is one I like to go back to now. Obviously, I won the Pan Arts Singer-Songwriter of the Year competition and the Rising Star, which got me in front of 10,000. But I think that's most of the things. I honestly couldn't tell you. You know, it's just, I know how extremely lucky I am to have been able to experience all those things, so I'm just taking it in my stride as much as I can.
What about collaboration, singing, songwriting, obviously songwriting collaboration? You know, have you met people along your journey now that you probably could link up with quite frequently now?
Yeah, absolutely. So, especially in the Belfast music scene, when I was younger and first started, I always saw that as something so daunting. And I used to go to gigs there once in a blue moon and just see all these musicians that knew each other and were always interacting. But I think going to Nashville with those other songwriters, Owen Lamont, Owen Denver and Cora Kelly, you know, we still talk on a regular basis, and we got to co-write a lot on that trip. And now that I have been playing a bit more, you know, I know some of those musicians in Belfast, and I talk to them and write with them. Even when I was over in Cheltenham, I was writing with my friend Joel Harkin. We started a song when I was in first year and finished it a couple of weeks ago. You know, yeah, there's definitely those connections and friendships to be made through it, and it's It's great. It's like a little family.
Yeah. And you know, you're not the first person to tell me that. And I think I remember years ago, and speaking to other people in that line and other lines, you know, artists and so on, there are always people out there who are willing to put you right down there, do you know, and very, very quickly will tell you that's rubbish and will knock you. But equally, there are so many other people willing to link hands and to bring you forward in the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the best pieces of advice I was given was by a friend of mine, and he said that when you're in the music industry, it's important to always listen to people. Listen to what their thoughts are and their advice. You don't have to always take it, but you have to show that you care about what you do enough to listen and be respectful. And that'll get you much further than having any kind of arrogance about you or any ego. You know, that's what will get you more of the chances of playing in all these nice places. And remembering people's names. That was a good one.
That's right, Amanda. That's brilliant. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go back again. Your film, you were involved in some film, Kitty J. So that was part of your course, was it?
Yes, it was. So that was my final year grad film. Right. And it was a period piece based in the 1700s, 1800s, based on a true story about a woman who was ostracised because she got pregnant out of wedlock. And she very sadly took her own life. So we decided to make a film about it.
And this is something that you researched yourself then?
So the cinematographer of the project, Sam, he is from Devon, where Kitty Jo lived and died. And he came to me and he said, you know, I know you're looking for a film this year. I think you might be interested in this. So I started doing some research and I noticed a lot of parallels between like this woman in the 1700s and people nowadays that are still going through things so similar. And I thought, well, I could just tell her story and it highlights nowadays and everything that people are still going through sometimes. And yeah, we had to fundraise. I think our target was £3,000 and we managed to get £5,100. And we had a wonderful, wonderful cast, and we're currently just getting ready to submit to festivals.
You're not going to stop the film production, though, are you? Are you going to try and move that direction as well, along with the singing and songwriting?
Yeah, definitely. Even if it's something as small as just being, you know, more involved in my music videos, but similar to the music, the film has got me like a bug, and I can't let either of them go. So I'm just going to keep going with both and see what happens for as long as I can.
You said listening is very important. What are we going to listen to tonight, Lucy?
I've got a track which is my recent single and it is called Fools.
And tell us a little about the background.
It is about a boy that broke my heart when I was at university, but it's all fine now. It was a song that I wrote, and my friend was in my room when I wrote it, and we were like, oh, this is kind of catchy. And then that summer I went home and recorded it.
So what came first, the words, the idea, and the music? How do you work? Or is it a bit of both? Or have you music in the back of your head and just waiting for those lyrics to jump out? How does all that go together?
It changes. It changes about. So with that song in particular, it was, I was playing on my guitar and I had the melody. And the chorus kind of goes, ooh, and I realised the word fools fit in quite well to it. So then the words slowly came as I had the melody and the chords and stuff. But sometimes, you know, I have pages of words and I think, where could that fit? And then I figure out the music for it. But yeah, it changes about. Oh, we're just
fools. FM 105, your station. Your voice in the heart of Downpatrick. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Chatting with Chris on FM 105 Down Community Radio. Your station, your voice.
Lucy, that has been a very broad brush interview. I mean, we've covered your 21 years in, 20 minutes perhaps? And, you know, there's lots more we could talk about tonight. And, like, hopefully we'll get together in the future and talk again when things progress. And I've no doubt things will progress for you. For anyone who wants to listen to some of your music or get in touch with you, maybe offer you a gig or two, how can we do that?
So I'm available on all social medias, on Facebook under Lucy Bell Music and Twitter and Instagram under the same. And on there you'll find my contact number and my email address if you're interested in booking me. And then if you just want to have a wee listen, I'm on Spotify and Apple Music and Amazon and all that just under Lucy Bell.
Can you reveal anything for the future? Have you any gigs lined up or, you know, in the next month or two?
Not in the next month or two, unfortunately, because I'm just currently focusing on writing and recording. But that means it won't be long until I release something. So keep your eyes peeled.
Lucy, thank you so much from all the listeners and staff here at FM 105 Down Community Radio. We will talk soon.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Chatting with Chris on FM 105 Down Community Radio. Your station, your voice.
Thank you again to Lucy Bell for taking time out a few weeks ago out of her busy schedule. Met up there in the centre of Downpatrick, recorded that interview. What a talented lady. Lucy, I know you will do well. I have absolutely no doubt in that. If you're out there and you want to have a look at her Facebook page, just go to Lucy Bell for more information. You can email her on contact@lucybellmusic.com. I'm going to play this one written and performed by the said Lucy. It's Lost on the Line. Lucy told me this was her move into the pop world. And in her words,
this is when I first started going to my producer, Owen, and I just wanted something a bit different. I had this catchy song and I thought it needs like a pop music background, but still wanted a bit of edge so it wasn't just full pop.
Broadcasting live across Downpatrick and beyond. You're listening to your local station. This is FM 105.
If you just tuned in, well, you've hit on the Chris Scott Show. It's FM 105 Down Community Radio, here for your ears only. I'll be taking you all the way up to the top of the hour and going back to an old one. Remember Eric Carmen? Eric Carmen, who's he? American singer, songwriter. Remember All By Myself, Hungry Eyes? Yeah, of course you remember that. Well, he's 72 years of age today. Wow, happy birthday, Eric. 11th of August, supposedly National Son and Daughter Day. Never heard of it this side of the Atlantic, or any other side of the Atlantic really, but I assume it's an American thing, I would guess. Yeah, possibly another holiday over there. So we'll go for that. Yeah, apparently it was invented to remind us all to take a step back from the whirlwind of life to appreciate our sons and daughters for who they are and how much joy, in brackets, and mayhem they brought us. Because no matter how tough parenting can be, we all love our children. To my three, well, enjoy your day, kids, and PS, kids, June the 20th, 2022, it's only 313 days away. Yes, kids, it's Father's Day again. Father's Day. Hey, thank you all for tuning in tonight. A big, massive thanks to Lucy Bell, singer-songwriter from Downpatrick, for taking part in the show. Great stuff and a talented lady. And can I say, Lucy, you have definitely recruited another fan here, girl. You can tune in each and every Wednesday night to the show with me, Chris Scott, 7-8 p.m. Get in touch with our Facebook site. You can tune in each and every Wednesday night You can tune in each and every Wednesday night on the show here, Chris Scott Show, 7-8 p.m. Get in touch with us via the Facebook site, FM 105 Down Community Radio, or you can email me personally at diggeraarticle@outlook.com. That's diggeraarticle@outlook.com. Maybe you want to come on the show for an interview. Maybe you want to leave me a request or shout out for someone. Not a problem. I'll do that for you. I'm going to leave you tonight with what I consider a classic rock song from an American, all-American group called Night Ranger, for all you aging rockers out there. You'd need to be really into it to maybe have heard of them, but it stretches way back, I think, to the 1980s. May not be one of the names that would appear on your, do you remember the old black markers and the old blue canvas school satchels or rucksacks? You know, you had AC/DC, Motorhead, Thin Lizzy, and numerous others. Maybe you're into punk or Teddy Boy or whatever, but I never really remember seeing this one on anybody's school bag in the 1980s. Anyway, I just noticed recently that Night Ranger has a new album out, ATBPO, which stands for And the Band Played On. So what happened during COVID? They decided to all get together remotely and recorded lots more music. And that's just been released, I think, during the week there. This one will take you back to 1984 if you go back that far. Some of us don't, of course. This one's especially for Stephen, Garvin, Jomo, Johnny, Ray, Jim, Matt and Michelle. And the message is, keep up the great works, chaps and chapess. I assume that's you, Michelle. So listen, I'm going to check out tonight. So I'm going to see you all next week. In the meantime, stay tuned and stay safe. We're rocking out of the show with this one. It's Sister Christian, live version of that song. It's good night for me. See you next week.